Did you know that Asbury University offers online degrees? We know that today's professionals are really busy and don't have time to drive every week to attend classes on campus, so we've made it easy for you to get your degree by going online and taking your classes. If you'd like to finish a degree with classes that fit your schedule, email Josh. He'll probably want to meet with you for coffee at josh@asbury.edu.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has two locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
The following program is sponsored by Horn Marketing and Consulting.
It's time now for Sports Talk, and here's your Sports Talk host, Greg Horn, here on AM 1250 WLRT.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk. Greg Horn and Action Jackson Reams here with you on a Friday, TGIF. Hope that you've had a good week. Glad that you tuned in. Want to thank our sponsor of the day, Asbury University. Obviously, a lot of people around here know that Asbury is an outstanding academic institution, but did you know that they offer scholarships in 17 intercollegiate sports? To find out more about all the athletic programs they offer, check them out online at AsburyEagles.com. Join us in our second segment will be the outstanding longtime sports columnist of the Lexington Herald Leader, John Clay. We'll talk a little Kentucky basketball, Kentucky football, and maybe even a little baseball. It's hard to believe, but Major League Baseball's opening games start this Sunday night, and the Reddies, who used to start the first of all of Major League Baseball, is kind of tradition. They will not be starting till Monday, and therefore, obviously, they will not be opening the initial game. But as long as they get a W, Jackson Reams, I don't care.
Well, I don't think there's many people out there that want to watch the Reds versus the Phillies on opening day. Both of those teams have been awful, so I'm sure people around here will pay attention. I would pay attention if I was in the country, but I will not be, and so we'll have to see when I get back how many games the Reds will be able to get under their belt as far as wins go.
Well, you need to listen very closely today. It'll be your last time to hear Action Jackson Reams for a week. Tell the people what you're doing.
I'm going to Guatemala on a mission trip, and we'll leave tomorrow afternoon and then be down there through Friday. So I'm going to be gone for a while. I'm going to have you all by yourself here and getting things figured out for the next week.
Absolutely. So we're going to have a different guest working on that. You know, I've still got 2 days, so I don't want to rush into it. But we'll have a good time, but we will miss you. But we wish you the best on the trip, and I think that's awesome that you're doing that to go serve the less fortunate there in Guatemala. Final Four this weekend. Do you care?
No, I don't care. I mean, again, I'll be out of the country, so that changes things. If I was in the country, I would watch probably both games, just because I really do want to see what South Carolina will be able to muster against Gonzaga. You know, South Carolina, of course, representing the SEC. But what I learned when Kentucky was in the Elite Eight along with everyone else was that other SEC fans will cheer for each other in basketball, but won't cheer for Kentucky in basketball. So I have no interest in any other SEC team doing well. And if we're being honest, I still think Kentucky's a better team than South Carolina, regardless of the fact that they're in the Final Four and Kentucky is not. I will be interested to see how that one turns out, and I think Oregon North Carolina will be the best game left. Now, if you have Gonzaga and North Carolina in the championship, that might be a good one, but I just feel like Oregon North Carolina is going to be your best matchup you can watch, and so that one should be fun. But yeah, I mean, I won't be watching, I won't be going online or anything to figure out what happens. I'll just have to come back on Friday and figure it out then. By then, we'll have crowned a national champion already.
I know better than that. You'll be finding out, man. You'll kind of scarf it up somewhere.
I mean, I guess when I'm talking on the phone, maybe with the parents, they can let me know. But I won't be going out of my way to find the results of those games. That's for sure.
Well, South Carolina obviously is led by Sandarius Thornwell. Has been playing as well as anybody in the country during the NCAA tournament, but unfortunately, a little bit under the weather.
Yeah, it's worth noting that he had to miss practice yesterday with flu-like symptoms. He did return to practice today, but when you've had the flu or an illness like that, it really can take a toll on your body and can make you weak. He's leading all D1 scorers in the last month or last 2 months maybe in scoring. So he's a guy that means so much to South Carolina. He has been the will of that team to drive them to where they are. So you'll have to see what he's doing. Another injury note, North Carolina's Joel Berry, who rolled that ankle against Kentucky, said he's feeling much better and closer to 100%. So it sounds like every team will be full strength. But then the question is, can the two guys for the two Carolina teams still play at the level they've been playing at?
Well, that's what everybody wants to know. Will the Cinderella slipper with South Carolina continue, or will it the clock strike midnight and their season over? Still a great run by the Gamecocks. Gonzaga, Mark Few, you know, also their first time here in the tournament. So, man, I know he said there was not a monkey on his back, but let's not kid ourselves. He's sleeping a little bit better at nights.
I'm sure he is, but I'm sure he's also not satisfied with where they are. You know, they still haven't won a Final Four game. So that's the next step. Then if they get to the national championship, they want to win that too. So a team that has been considered as one of the best all year long, no one really believes in them because of the choking that they've done in the past. And now the question is, will they choke again? Of course, we saw Villanova finally do it last year. And maybe Gonzaga is the team that's finally going to break through this year as well.
I'd love to have seen if Gonzaga was going to do it last year when Kyle Wilcher, the former Kentucky player, was on there. But Gonzaga, I think they've got good size. They've got good guard play. They're a 7-point favorite against the Gamecocks right now. North Carolina, though, just seems to me by far the dominant team. But I'll tell you, man, those two guys, Dylan and Dorsey for Oregon, those guys can ball.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks and Tyler Dorsey are really good for Oregon. And then they've got a lot of guys around them. They have a kid with the last name Ennis. And he's a fifth-year senior. They've got some other just key role players that can help out there. I know they've got a freshman sharpshooter named Peyton Pritchard. And so I think that Oregon is a really dangerous team. I wouldn't be shocked if they upset North Carolina, honestly. They just like I was saying throughout this tournament, they just seem like a team that knows how to win. The biggest question for them, though, will be, again, just like it kind of was for Kentucky, can they deal with the size of North Carolina? One of their best big men was lost for the season before the NCAA tournament started. Now you're likely going to have Justin Jackson, the real long, small forward, guarding Tyler Dorsey or Dylan Brooks. And the question is, how do they respond to that? Because, you know, Malik Monk had issues with that until the last minute of the game.
Yeah, I can see him putting Jackson on Brooks, since he's a little bit bigger, but it will be interesting to see, and I agree. How can they handle their bigs? Of course, North Carolina, they've got to have a bitter taste in their mouth after the way they lost the championship last year.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a team that's very driven. They showed that, they've really shown that all tournament so far, and I thought they definitely showed that against Kentucky, just continuing to fight. You know, very easily could have given up when they were down 5 with about 2 minutes left in that game, 3 minutes left in that game, and instantly they respond with a 12-0 run, and they did something similar against Arkansas with that 12-0 run. So, yes, Oregon seems like they don't know how to lose right now, but North Carolina has lost and learned from those mistakes last year in the national championship, and that's why they are my shoe-in for the national championship. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Oregon, but I think that North Carolina is the best team left, and therefore that's why I choose them to win the national championship this year.
Well, it's definitely there for their taking. They've got the size. They've got the experience. If Barry can stay healthy, that ankle holds up. Both ankles, actually, he's had problems with. Then they should definitely win. Well, Kentucky basketball news, Derek Willis, we told you earlier in the week, is out in Phoenix. He'll be playing here just in about an hour and a half in the Reese's College All-Star Game. That's going to be on CBS Sports Network. But he's going to be back in Kentucky later this weekend. You get a chance to meet him, Action Jackson Reams.
Well, Derek Willis and Dominique Hawkins have announced that they are doing a hashtag Kentucky Boys Tour. The two will tour together. I believe they were college roommates, and so probably have a great relationship together. You have four opportunities to meet the two cats in person. It actually starts on Sunday at the All Sports in Fayette Mall from 1 to 3 p.m. I have a feeling that will be a gigantic line, and I'm sure it'll be a huge turnout everywhere they go. They will then go on Wednesday to the Elizabethtown Mall from 6 to 7:30 p.m., and then go to Barleycorn's in Cold Springs, Kentucky. I have no idea what that is or where that is, from 6 to 7:30, and then finish up in Ashland, Kentucky at Glockner from 10 to 11:30 a.m. But four opportunities, I expect mass showings to show the guys how much they're appreciated by Big Blue Nation, and I'm sure it'll be a really, really cool moment for both of those guys at each and every event they go to.
Well, no doubt about it. And I do like the theme and Kentucky Boys, but, man, giving Michael Mulder the shaft.
Well, you know, Michael Mulder wasn't around for those two extra years that those guys had been together, so I guess it was something they decided to do. And maybe Mulder can tour with the young guys after they declare for the draft. The young guys usually go on tours. Maybe they'll let Mulder go with them. I'm excited. I think I'll pay attention to that Reese's College All-Star Game tonight and hope that Willis is big time in that. And then he's also in the Portsmouth Invitational event, which is a tournament of seniors from April 12th through the 15th in Portsmouth, Virginia. That'll be something to keep an eye on. And I heard Coach Cal was trying to work on getting Dominique Hawkins into that game as well.
Well, we saw Cal was out in Phoenix last night watching former outstanding cat Devin Booker, Mr. 70-point man, he and son Brad out there. So catching him as they played the Los Angeles Clippers last night. Well, that's going to wrap it up here for our first segment. But our next segment, we're going to be talking with the outstanding sports writer for the Lexington Herald Leader, John Clay. John's going to be with us, and we're going to talk a little UK basketball and football and much more next with John Clay here on Sports Talk with Action Jackson Marines and yours truly, Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by JJB Hilliard, WL Lyons, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120 or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
Nice shot, Jim.
Hey, thanks. You know, it's great to be out here and not at the shop.
Yeah, must be all that Action Coach business coaching.
Well, laugh if you want, but our revenues are up, and I'm working smarter on each of the six steps to a better business instead of harder, like some people I know.
I don't know what Action Coach can tell me about my business. We had a record year last year.
Look, every great athlete has a coach, even the world's best golfer, who had a record year last year, too.
Good point.
Now, listen, I've learned more about business in the last 3 months from my Action Coach than I ever have. I've also learned something else.
Yeah? What's that?
The best tee times are during the middle of the week.
Your local action coach in Central Kentucky is Andrew Van Horn. Contact Andrew at 859-940-5517. That's Andrew Van Horn at 859-940-5517. You deserve to have your own coach, too. Call Action Coach Andrew Van Horn today.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Rings here with you on a Friday. I want to thank Asbury University for being our sponsor of the day. Obviously, great academics down there. But also, did you know that Asbury offers scholarships in 17 intercollegiate sports? To find out more about their all the athletic programs that they offer, check them out online at AsburyEagles.com. Joining us on the phone line now is John Clay, the outstanding sports columnist with the Lexington Herald Leader. And, John, I'm kind of feeling, got a feeling that maybe you're thinking you might possibly be in Phoenix this weekend.
With 5 minutes to go last Sunday, yeah, I was thinking about how am I going to get to the locker room and do the interviews and get the video, write my story, and book my flight to Phoenix, but as it turned out, the last part of that I didn't have to do after all. But yeah, with especially before North Carolina made that 12-0 run and Kentucky had a 5-point lead and Kentucky had the momentum, I thought, yeah, it looks like we're going to be covering the Final Four.
Well, obviously, the game with UCLA Friday night was just a great win for Kentucky, and I know you've seen a lot of great performances over your years covering Kentucky basketball, but what was your thoughts about the, can you talk a little bit about the performance De'Aaron Fox gave on Friday night against UCLA?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the most amazing thing about it, he scored 39 points without making a three-pointer. He only shot one three-pointer on the night and missed it. All the rest of his points came, you know, on two-pointers or at the foul line. So, you know, I went back and looked, and in the last 10 years, anyway, the only other UK player who's been able to score more than 30 points without making a three-pointer was Patrick Patterson. And he did it back in 2008, did it a couple of times under Billy Gillespie back then. And but, you know, Patrick was a post player. He also got to the foul line a lot, which De'Aaron did against UCLA. But, yeah, he was unstoppable in that game. And, you know, the interesting thing, too, is UCLA played a lot of zone, and they still were not able to keep him from getting to the basket. So it was funny because there towards the end of the game, of course, there were a lot of Kentucky fans in Memphis, and, you know, our game had been hyped as De'Aaron Fox against Lonzo Ball, and a fan not too far behind me was kind of singing to Lonzo Ball, "Hey, Lonzo, there's somebody better than you. I wonder who it is." And I'm sure Lonzo heard him. He couldn't help but hear him by that time. Late in the game, but you know, I saw too where Lonzo Ball said that he thinks he's better than Fultz of Washington, who a lot of people are saying could be the number one pick. But after that game on Friday night, I don't see how Ball could say that he's better than De'Aaron Fox. He certainly wasn't better than De'Aaron Fox on that night.
Oh, no doubt about it. Well, obviously, John, the SEC is known as a football conference, but I thought the SEC did themselves pretty proud this year in the NCAA basketball tournament.
Oh, yeah, they did great. I mean, to get five teams, they only got three teams in last year, and they had three teams in the Elite Eight this year, and South Carolina made it through to the Final Four. And, you know, as we mentioned, Kentucky could have easily been there to join them. You know, just having five teams get in the tournament to start with and then the strong showing that they made. And, you know, really, I think we've talked about it with you guys before. I think the future of the league is looking good, and it looks even better now. Konzo Martin at Missouri, that comes in as the coach of Missouri. Of course, SEC fans remember him from his time at Tennessee before he went to California. And the first thing Konzo did is get Michael Porter Jr., who's considered the number one recruit or one of the top two or three recruits in the country. He got a commitment from him. Of course, he got him in large part because he hired Porter's father, who was on the staff at Washington when Lorenzo Romar got fired. He hired him as an assistant coach. But Porter is a definite upgrade to what Missouri had in the past. I think LSU made a good hire in Will Wade, who comes over from VCU. Wade had been a head coach at Chattanooga before that. He did a good job at both places. He's a young, energetic guy. And then if you look on Kentucky.com today, Ben Roberts, who I did a podcast with, you might look for that on Kentucky.com as well, about the McDonald's All-American game. And Ben made the point, and he's posted his story too, that if you look at the top recruits right now, the SEC has more of the top, I think it's top 20 or top 30 recruits than any other conference. And in the past, you'd say, oh, well, that's all Kentucky kids, all Kentucky signees. But that's not the case, not this year. I think there's seven different schools that have top, top recruits this year from the SEC. So they're doing a good job in recruiting. So, you know, I think the future does look bright for the league.
We'll let people know that we actually retweeted your tweet about the podcast that you did do with Ben Roberts. So, fan, if people want to catch up the latest on UK basketball recruiting, check the podcast that John Clay did with Ben Roberts of the Lexington Herald Leader. Just go to our Twitter page, 1250 Sports Talk.
John, you, like we've talked about, you've covered a lot of Kentucky basketball in your time, and obviously it was a pretty heartbreaking loss to lose in that fashion to North Carolina on Saturday. Where does that rank, in your opinion, compared to heartbreaking losses you've seen for Kentucky in the past?
Well, I mean, you know, any time they lose in, you know, the Elite Eight, and my colleague Mark Story wrote about it too. You can find that on Kentucky.com. About it seems like a lot of the heartbreaking losses in Kentucky history are Elite Eight losses. I mean, I can think back, I did a column leading into the North Carolina game. There's a couple with North Carolina. I'm so old, I go all the way back to 77 when they lost to North Carolina in the East Regional Final, where Dean Smith, North Carolina had the lead late, and Dean went in, that of course was before the shot clock, and Dean Smith went into the four corners, and Kentucky had the foul, and John Kuster hit, I think, 15 of 15 free throws or 14 of 15 free throws and to put the game away. That was a very disappointing loss because Kentucky thought they had a national championship type team, and they won the championship the next year. And then the loss in 95, even though it wasn't a close game to North Carolina, but it was the same sort of scenario. Kentucky thought it had a team that was very capable of winning the national championship, but they couldn't make it to the Final Four because North Carolina knocked them out in the Elite Eight. Of course, then everybody points to the Christian Laettner game. It's the 25th anniversary. I think that ranks at the top. I think this game obviously ranks up there. I'm not sure that this team was Kentucky team was considered. I think it had a chance certainly to win the national championship, but I don't think there was quite the same feeling about it as there was in the Kentucky team in 77 and the Kentucky team in 95. But and I don't think it had that sentimental value the Kentucky fans had with the unforgettables on that team that lost to Christian Laettner. But still, to lose in that fashion, to lose in a last-second shot, you know, to be so close to getting to the Final Four and not getting there, I mean, that I would say that definitely ranks up there. I don't know how high it ranks, but it's certainly in the conversation among the most heartbreaking losses, most heartbreaking tournament losses that Kentucky has had.
John, obviously, one and done's what John Calipari's been known for the last several years. Looks like they could possibly lose at least six, seven, maybe more players. Are you concerned that, you know, at some point this toll of just or this term that they do, or the style, I guess, of reloading every year with so many freshmen that it takes a toll at some point? And I guess the reason I ask you that, I'm a little concerned about the backcourt possibly next year being a little bit thin at that position.
Yeah, I mean, that's a concern. And you're going to hear when they don't get to the Final Four, people are going to say, oh, well, you know, the one and done and so forth. But, I mean, at the same time, you turn around and those are the same people who are saying, you know, you got to recruit the best talent possible. The interesting thing, if you listen to the podcast and talking to Ben, and, you know, and he goes to these recruiting events. Like I said, he just came back from McDonald's All-American game. He's been at the different peach jams and all those sorts of things. You know, this class that they have coming in for next year is not a class that is that has a lot of one-and-done guys in it, or at least a lot of surefire one-and-done guys. There are some guys that, if they play well enough, they could play themselves into that position. But this class may be a little different, and because I think the class overall, the way Ben talks, is not filled with a lot of talent that the experts are saying, okay, these guys are just, you know, the freshman year is just kind of a way station before they go on to the NBA. So it could be a little different next year, but it's definitely going to be another, tear it up and start all over again. Because as you mentioned, I mean, I think the big three freshmen, Fox and Monk and Adebayo are going. I think Briscoe's going. You know, Van Talk says what he's hearing is there's a good chance that Isaac Humphries may not be on the team next year. There's even some talk that he might go back to Australia and try to play professionally back there. Now, whether the strong showing he made in the game against North Carolina on Sunday changes his mind about that or changes the thinking about that, I don't know. I think Gabriel will come back, although I think Gabriel wouldn't shut the door after the game on what his intentions, are going to be for next year. But, the person that I worry about taking a toll on is Cal Perry. I mean, I don't see how he does it year after year after year, because you basically have to start all over with a new group in there. You've got to teach them everything from the right from the beginning every year, where in the past, where you had guys who stayed at least, two or three years, you could start at a different starting point, and the older guys could catch the younger guys up on what was going on. They could tell them, this is the way we go to the dining hall. This is the way we do, just a layup drill, for example, just the institutional knowledge. So, I would think that year after year that's got to take something out of a head coach, just having to start all over again every year. But it's certainly that's going to be the case again next year.
Like to transition a little bit here, move over to the football program. Of course, not in season for it, but they're doing plenty of work with their spring practice. If you had to say one thing that you think the football team needs to figure out or the biggest thing they're looking at during this spring practice, what would that be in your assessment?
Well, let me preface my remarks by saying I've been doing so much basketball, I haven't been over there to do much football. Really hardly any football since the beginning of the spring. I thought going into spring, I mean, one of the big question marks is defensive line. Obviously, the defensive line is always a big thing, especially in the SEC, which is known for producing defensive linemen. I think if you don't have a good defensive line in the SEC, you're in real trouble. I think they had some makings of a good defensive line, but they got some young guys there that they have to bring along. Plus, they lost Jimmy Brumbaugh, their defensive line coach, brought in the new defensive line coach. So, there's going to be some transition there with a new coach. Same thing with the new defensive coordinator in Matt House, although I was impressed with the job that Matt did last year. I think it really helps that he was already on the staff for a year before he got moved to the coordinator spot. He's already worked with Mark Stoops before. Seems to me like Mark's got a lot of confidence in him and thinks he can do a good job. But, I think offense, they got a lot of guys back. I think obviously losing Jeff Badette, they got to find somebody to take his spot. Losing JoJo Kemp and Boom in the backfield, you got to find some depth at running back, but I think they've got some candidates there. They got some guys coming in, I think, to help them there. So I look more towards the defense, especially that defensive line. I think if Mark Stoops gets out of the spring thinking, okay, now I know who my guys are going to be, at those four spots or five spots, if you count the depth behind the ends, outside linebackers, and Ware and Allen, then I think he'll feel pretty good. If he doesn't find those things, then I think, he might be a little worried over the summer going into fall practice.
Just tuned in, we're talking with John Clay, outstanding sports columnist with the Lexington Herald Leader. He's a great follow on Twitter. Just follow him at John Clay the Fourth. That's IV. John, as you sit there and you were at the game on Sunday, and of course, John Higgins is the official's coming under a lot of heat. Yet NCAA, he does a good enough job that he's going to be officiating in the Final Four. What was your thoughts on some of the feedback that UK fans have been giving Mr. Higgins since the game on Sunday?
Well, I think it's totally uncalled for, totally inappropriate. And I think if you're a fan, I wrote this earlier this week, if you are a fan who somehow got John Higgins' phone number and called him or left some, nasty remark on the Facebook page for his roofing company, then I think you need to find yourself a new hobby. You need to do something else. You're too emotionally involved in it. I mean, did Higgins have a great game? I mean, I've seen that 4 minute. I got a lot of emails from people after I wrote what I wrote about, go back and look at that 4 minute tape that somebody put together about the calls. Are there some bad calls in there or calls that could have gone the other way? Yeah, sure. there are calls like that in, you know, in every game. You know, I put in the column, you know, it's amazing. As somebody who's fortunate enough who gets to sit close to the action, you know, game after game, it's amazing to me that the officials do as good a job as they do. It's almost an impossible job. The game is played so fast by such athletic people. A lot of it comes down to judgment calls, not just block charge, but any sort of other fouls. I think it's ridiculous to think that John Higgins has it in for Calipari or has it in for, a team. I think that, you know, as you mentioned, he's going on to work. Jeff Goodman reported he's going on to work the Final Four. They do a lot of study about, you know, who the best officials are to move on. You know, one year at the Final Four, I happened to be sitting by John Adams, who at that time was the NCAA Director of Officials. And John, who was a very nice guy, he had a monitor in front of him so that he could watch the officials' calls. And he got the replays from CBS, and he also got some of the closed-circuit replays that you don't necessarily see on TV. And Ted Valentine worked that game. And I know TV Ted is definitely a showman, and a lot of people don't like Ted. But there were like three or four calls in that game that I believe it was the Duke-Butler game in the championship game, where it looked like it could have been, you know, when you saw it live, you're not sure if Ted made the right call. But looking at the replays, sitting there with John Adams and the ones that John got, I think three out of four, maybe even four out of four, Ted got the call right. And they were very tough calls. They could have gone either way. So I think it's totally ridiculous to blame the loss on John Higgins. De'Aaron Fox said after the game, you know, officiating didn't cost them the game. They had their chances to win, give the credit to North Carolina. You know, there may be another game down the road where the other team may complain that they didn't think they got the calls against Kentucky. I also had somebody, a fan, point out to me who's not a Kentucky fan, a fan from another school, who said, go back and look, and Kentucky shot like 100 more free throws than the opponents this year. So it's hard, as this person said, it's hard for him to believe that the officials were out to get Kentucky. So that's my take on this whole John Higgins controversy.
Well said. I enjoyed the article you wrote earlier this week. So if you missed that, go check it out. Go to Kentucky.com or go to John Clay's Twitter page, and you can see it there. John, thank you so much. Great stuff as always. Sorry you didn't get to go to Phoenix, but still hope you have a great weekend, my friend.
I will sit back in my easy chair and watch the Final Four. Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Jackson. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much, John. Appreciate it. That's John Clay. He's a must-follow on Twitter. Also writes a great blog. Go check it out, John Clay Blog. Just Google that. You'll find it. Check out that podcast that he just did with Ben Roberts, who is the recruiting beat writer for the Lexington Herald Leader, was at the McDonald's High School All-American game, and already looking at the 2018 guys that could be future Cats. We got to take a short break. We'll be right back on Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
BurgerFi, natural and proud of it. Our beef, it's beef. No hormones, no antibiotics, just 100% certified Angus. You know, the way nature intended. We really get cooking with other chef-driven favorites, made from scratch daily, like our crispy fries and double-battered onion rings, hand-cut and served with house-made sauces, fresh farm veggies and gourmet toppings, all with local craft beer and wine. But we don't stop at honest food. We're proud to commit to eco-friendly practices that improve every neighborhood we call home.
BurgerFi, 141 Roe J Drive, right next to Moe's and the Fayette Mall movie theaters.
Congratulations to McGee's Bakery, celebrating their 60th anniversary. Family owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heartier appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has two locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
Each show, we like to take a minute to thank one of our long-term sponsors, Asbury University. Did you know that with graduation rates 2 to 5 times higher than public universities in Kentucky and retention rates better than any school in the regional college rankings, that Asbury was named the number one college in the South in 2015 by U.S. News and World Report and has been in the top 5 every year since 2012? If a nationally ranked private education at an affordable price interests you or your student at home, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson, Reams. We just got done talking with John Clay, outstanding sports writer with Election Herald Leader. If you happen to miss that or any of our other shows this week, make sure that you check out our podcast. Jackson Reams does a great job, gets those up about 6:15, 6:20 p.m. You can find those podcasts at our website, 1250sportstalk.com. Or the easiest way, simply follow us on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook simply at 1250 Sports Talk. Well, Jackson, last night, there's big stuff going on with the Final Four. Beforehand, we talked about the All-Star game tonight that Derek Willis will be playing in, but there's some pretty cool things going on last night.
Well, I had a really good time watching the college three-point and dunking competition on ESPN last night. That dunk contest was miles better than the NBA dunk contest this season. Every guy out there put up some pretty impressive dunks. There was a kid from East Tennessee State. He didn't end up winning, but he could just jump out of the gym and I think got perfect scores on every one of his dunks except for his final one, the one that he needed to win the competition. And the coolest thing for me was that they had it at Grand Canyon University, and Grand Canyon decided to give their entire season ticket holders tickets to this event. And their student section was there. Their student section was very lively. They were also a bit crazy. Their big thing was eating fresh fruit. I don't really know why one kid was wearing an adult diaper and eating a pineapple, but whatever, it was funny. They had a really good time with it. There was a Grand Canyon player in the three-point competition. He ended up finishing in second, and to watch them get behind him and watch him have a great time while he was shooting is a lot of fun, and it even kind of connects back to this area because Louisville went out and played there early this season, won 79-70, and after the game, Rick Pitino said, "In my 40 years of coaching, this was the toughest environment we've ever seen or that I've ever seen." And yes, Rick Pitino, known for being overly exaggerant and basically being a liar, but in this circumstance, it did seem like it was quite a lively environment. You add that their team is still waiting. I think they have one more year before they're eligible for the NCAA tournament. And I think for once, Rick Pitino might have had a little bit of truth in there, although I doubt it's the toughest crowd ever compared to, going to Duke and Carolina and Kansas and Kentucky.
All right. Well, I'm sure that Rick Pitino will not be sending you a Christmas card this year.
I think I long lost that quite a while ago. I'd rip it up. Anything I got from Louisville, even when I was looking at colleges, if they ever sent me something in the mail, first thing I did was ceremonially rip it to shreds and then throw it away.
There you go. There's your loyalty, baby. Well, we know that the tight end position's one that Kentucky wants to do well in. C.J. Conrad, the starter, who had a nice year last year, was one of the most highly recruited guys that they have signed since Mark Stoops has been there, had a little surgery. How's he doing?
Well, he tweeted out a picture of himself back on the practice field. Believe he was wearing a red no-contact jersey, but it is good to see him back on the field after having that shoulder surgery. I had to be careful because I've been stumbling over those two words all day. But I know that's a big-time position. Yourself, Anthony Combs, my dad had all really looked at C.J. Conrad and said, why is this kid not catching the ball more? And he's about to go into his junior year. Maybe he can play a huge role for the Cats this year. I'd say he definitely has the talent to do it. Now it's a question of if Steven Johnson could get the ball to him, because he definitely had some passing issues he's hoping to fix this spring.
Well, former UK center John Toth is hoping to play in the NFL, and the draft's coming up here pretty soon in April. What's the latest we're hearing about him?
Well, he had a really good showing at the Senior Bowl, and I think by the end of the year, a lot of just college analysts had said he was, you know, one of the top two centers in all of college football. And when it came to the draft prospects, he wasn't thought nearly as highly just because he's not really a freak athlete or anything. But he does everything well. Apparently, he is climbing up of draft boards. In fact, Pro Football Focus now has him listed as the number two center in the draft, 87th overall. So that just kind of shows you that center, not a huge position as far as getting drafted goes. But it sounds like he should not slip beyond the fifth or the sixth round, and means he should go in the first couple of days of the draft.
Well, that happens for everything you hear about him, you know, not obviously just being a great football player, really solid guy, good individual, and so let's hope good things happen for him.
Absolutely. Go to the Diamond, Greg. Couple of the UK sports that are not the major quote-unquote sports will be playing this weekend. Number 16 UK baseball is supposed to be starting a series against number 22 Vanderbilt at 6:30 tonight, but unless you haven't noticed, it was starting to spit rain, so we'll have to see if that still happens or not. The Cats have won 19 of their last 22, are in first place in the SEC with a 5-1 record, and are 13-1 at Cliff Hagan Stadium. But they get a Vanderbilt team that comes in, always a very solid Vanderbilt team. I mean, they're always just a very good program, ranked yet again. And so the Cats will start tonight. They'll play them again tomorrow at 2, and the series finale will be Sunday at 1. And we'll see if Nick Mangione's hot start can continue. Just really amazing what they've done over their last 22 games, winning 19 of those.
Well, see what they can do. Another team that's hot and kind of funny, they're ranked 16th, too, is the University of Kentucky softball team. However, they will not be in town this weekend.
They will not be. They will be on the road for three games at number 24, Ole Miss. Kentucky comes off a week where, I guess last weekend, they got a three-game sweep of 22nd-ranked Arkansas. Then on Wednesday, got a hard-fought 2-1 victory at Northern Kentucky, got a seventh-inning run to actually seal that game. They've won four of their last six against ranked opponents, and so they will try to also continue with the success that they have had. Tonight at 7 p.m. is the first game. That's on the SEC Network Plus. Then tomorrow at 4 p.m. they'll be on ESPNU, and Sunday at 2 p.m. they'll be on the SEC Network. So the softball team will be on TV twice this weekend. The baseball team will not be on TV at all this weekend. So kind of interesting to see how the television deals work out with those two sports.
Rachel Lawson doing an outstanding job. And then on a local note, I say local just because it's SEC related, University of Dayton looking for a new head coach after Archie Miller took the Indiana University job. Well, they hired former Alabama head coach Anthony Grant as their new basketball coach. Good luck to Anthony. Well, stay with us. We'll get back. We're going to be talking with the Asbury men's soccer coach, Ben Andrews, next on Sports Talk on AM 1250. WLRT.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by J.J.B. Hilliard, W.L. Lyons, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Action Jackson Reams here for this segment. I want to thank Asbury University for being our sponsor of the day, a great Christian education offered over in Wilmore, Kentucky, nearby with plenty of sports programs as well as the great academics that they offer you. On the phone line right now, have the soccer coach joining us, Ben Andrews. Coach, I think from what I understand, you just finished your seventh season with Asbury. Is that correct?
Seventh year as head coach, yeah. 4 years as an assistant before that, so I've been with the program for a while, yeah.
And then you played there as well, correct?
Correct. So, I mean, I showed up in 2002, and I haven't left.
What has it been that's kept you around at Asbury? I mean, what exactly has worked so well for you there?
Well, I mean, there's no denying that there's something special here. This place is full of amazing people who care about students, that care about athletes, who will bend over backwards and sacrifice to see them succeed, not only on the court, but in life, in the classroom. And so the fact that I experienced that firsthand and now I get to play a part in that, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Well, like you said, you've been there for seven seasons, and over that time have been very successful. You all just finished a year where you went 11-8-1, 3-5 in the newly renamed River States Conference, included a appearance in the River State Conference semifinal, where unfortunately you fell, but to the eventual national champion in Rio Grande. So what were your thoughts on how your team performed this season?
Well, we knew coming in that we were going to be talented, we were going to be deep, but we better, you know, check those boxes because we do play some of the best teams in the country. And so coming in, started some young players, but got a ton of production from those players. And so lost a few games that I think we definitely should have won. But in the end, like you said, I mean, we come out with a very competitive schedule. We're above 500. We're making the right strides preparing for the future.
You ended up graduating six seniors off of this team and had 14 of your 29 players this season were upperclassmen. You'll have a senior class of eight next year. But let's talk about the guys who just finished out their careers with Asbury. What stands out to you about those seniors who just finished up?
Well, you know, something a little specific. My youngest brother was actually one of those seniors. And so it was a unique experience being able to coach your brother at the college level. But he was just one of the six that, you know, we brought in, came in 4 years ago, where they all were not exactly role players right off the bat. They worked their tails off. They set standards, and that's what changes programs. You get guys to buy in to what's going on around them and understanding that the program is bigger than me as an individual. And those guys embodied that, and the ripple effect will last way longer than, they leave here in May.
And then you should have a very experienced team for next season. You had those 15 who were still underclassmen. Like I said, you'll have eight seniors, and then, of course, any freshmen that you'll have coming in next year. So, what are your expectations for next season? Are you excited to get started? I know you still have a bit, but should be able to get started at least working out here soon.
Yeah, so we started our spring season in February, just kind of preparing with our guys that are on the team. And, you know, finished up the recruiting class. We're adding 11 for next year. Potentially could be our most talented class in program history, just with the type of caliber players we're bringing in. So players that are good enough to compete for starting roles from the get-go, from the beginning. And so you combine that with our already young performers from last year. And, again, we're super excited, but we have to be able to do this in order to compete with the teams we play with.
Well, as far as recruiting goes, I know you're in a pretty great spot to be able to recruit. Central Kentucky has some really good soccer teams. I'm an alum from Dunbar, and they're regularly in contention for state championships. Henry Clay has done a lot. I saw you have a lot of players from Lexington Christian Academy. So what has been your pitch to be able to bring in guys from Central Kentucky to come play at Asbury?
Well, I mean, it's an experience that I think is pretty unique. You know, it's small town feel. You got Wilmer, Kentucky. You got a small school, one that, you know, you're not going to get lost in the crowd. And I think the best way to describe it is you become part of a family, not only just the Asbury family, but the way we run our team, we look after each other, we take care of each other. And if I can get these local recruits here on campus and hanging out with the guys and training with the team, they leave with an extremely positive, you know, taste in their mouth from what it was like to perhaps, you know, what it would be like to be an Asbury soccer player. So I pitch the experience the way that, you know, we hope that in 20 years they'll become a better man because, you know, they were a part of our program. Not only are they going to hopefully develop and become a better player, a better student, but we're looking for future stuff as well.
Well, in your time at Asbury, as I mentioned earlier, you've been very successful. You tied a school record with 14 wins in 2011. It included the school's third ever conference regular season title, and I believe you won the tournament title that year as well. Mm-hmm. What does it take to have success like that year in and year out?
Well, when that happened, our conference looked a little different. That was before the powerhouses joined, and so doesn't mean, you know, I'm not taking any away from that team and what we were able to accomplish, but you know, we worked hard, we had a game plan in mind, and we accomplished it. In order to be successful now in our conference, you have to be able to put out not only a good product in one game, you have to do it in all 18. A lot of it's about rhythm, about confidence, and if you can build that early and you don't peak too soon when those big schools come in, and, you know, Ryo and the West Virginia Techs, and they show up, you're ready, and you can't just take it easy and you're at a conference schedule at the same time. You got to prepare yourself. So we look to make our schedule competitive, something that we can learn from, grow from, be stretched, and be successful in.
Well, we talked about your preparation for next season, how you all have already gotten started, but summer right around the corner, and I'm sure you'll have players on campus all summer long to get ready. What does your summer workouts look like to get you all prepared for a fall season?
Yeah, so we try to push as many guys as possible onto kind of the semi-pro development leagues that are around the country, and just so that they're training with other collegiate players, semi-pro players. In the summer, they stay sharp, they stay fit. As many as we can input, you know, put on those teams, we do. And so I wish I could put more on there. We have a few this summer that are doing it. If they're not on a team like that, they understand that their preparation is key. And so they have different workouts they're going through each day. And they're working on their fitness, working on their touch, trying to stay sharp, trying to play as often as possible. So when they come back in August, we're ready to go.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you taking the time with us. I grew up and played soccer all of my life and have one guest on here, Dave Buzz Baker, who likes to make fun of me for my love of Premier League soccer and Manchester United specifically. So I've got to go ahead and ask you a question of who is your professional team that you pay attention to when you're not coaching and so involved, obviously, in Asbury?
Glory, glory, Man United.
That's all I need to hear. I mean, that's a great answer.
One. Yes, day one.
I joked that I picked them up because they were easy to watch, and I've been struggling through. They haven't been as good recently, but glad to hear that there's another Manchester United fan around the area with me. And definitely congratulations on a successful season, and we hope that you all have a smooth summer and are prepared and going to have another great season next fall.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Well, that's going to do it for us here at 1250 Sports Talk. Next week, you'll have Greg Horn here with some guests. I'm out for about a week and a half. I'll come back a year older with plenty of stories, and I'll see you then. Enjoy the Final Four and your national championship, and talk to everyone in a couple of weeks right here on 1250 Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.